Hi there, this is Alvin, and welcome to Kickstart Commerce Podcast, where we share search marketing and domain name investing strategies to help you learn and grow your business. Today's episode will be a little bit different. I'm not interviewing anyone, or if I am interviewing someone, it is myself. And so I want to discuss with you and just share a few thoughts around the question, why did you buy that domain, or why did you buy the domain? That's something that I get questioned on, whether in person, through text, sometimes phone messages, or even emails. And so in today's episode, I want to share, or I'll discuss with you, the importance of a domain buying strategy. I'll also discuss the different domain buying perspectives and strategies behind those perspectives, as well as share with you my own domain buying strategy, or rather a bit of insight of how I go about observing or considering buying a domain. So to get things kicked off, the importance of a domain buying strategy. One of the things, oftentimes when I'm either asked to be someone's mentor, or I get emailed just in general about, hey, do you think this domain has any value? One of the first things that I shoot back, which I know you probably shouldn't answer a question with a question, but oftentimes I want to see where the mind of the domain owner is when they ask me, hey, is whatever.com or whatever the extension, is this valuable? Well, one of the things that I throw back is, what is your personal strength? Which is a strange question that has nothing to do with the domain. And one of the things that I get at behind that is that you must know your strength as well as your weaknesses. And so I oftentimes tend to focus and live from the area of strength. And so that being said, you know, it makes no sense if you see some other domain investor that's out there and they're buying and they're selling and you're trying to pattern your style or your strategy after them, not realizing that you may not have the same strengths as they have. And so that's one of the areas that I highly recommend when you're looking at a domain. You have to really consider your life and or professional experience with that domain. Just because you buy a domain, just because someone else says it's valuable, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to sell it or you're going to be able to capitalize this perceived value that has been associated with the domain. So that being said, you know, for me, I'm not a current events or ambulance chaser. So, you know, here in Austin a couple of weeks ago, you know, we had the Austin bomber. And so I'm not one of those guys that's going to go out and, you know, try to register austinbomber.com or austinbombings.com or anything like that. I mean, to me, that lacks taste. Yeah, just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should, though. And so one of the things is really understand, what is your strategy? And I think a lot of your strategy plays on what is your professional or life experience. And so another question that I get often asked is, okay, well, when I share my experience, I often tell people, I say, hey, I'm not into doing outbound sales. That's not my strength. I'm not a, I guess you'd say, a salesperson. However, what's interesting is I do have a strength in terms of negotiation. So if someone uses or finds one of my domains, they look it up using Whois or some sort of tool that associates that domain to me, then I'm more willing to to respond to their request. Obviously, they're able to reach out to me, but when they do, understand now that I've, to a certain extent, circumvented the sales process in stating that I'm not necessarily the one that's going out Googling or using, you know, different sales or marketing tools such as discover.org or limeleads.com. although those exist, I just realize I'm a stronger negotiator than I am a sales. Now, I know that may make no sense to some people because they're like, well, wait, don't those go hand in hand? You could say that they do. In my opinion, I just look at it and say, where is my time most beneficial and most efficient? So for me, it's a matter of, do I go spend time scouring and searching for buyers, or do I really focus on going, you know what, I need to spend more time investing in the right sorts of names. And if I know that I can get the right name, I know that there will be buyers that will come knocking. So it's a bit of, you know, you can build, I guess you can compare it to build it, and they'll come, and that's more of a Field of Dreams reference. Now, you know, it's a dangerous reference because then some of you may take this and say, well, what you're basically saying is I can go out and I can hand register, or I can go out and I can find expired domains. Yes and no, but there is a method to the madness in which, you know, I go about purchasing expired domain auctions. So that being said, I think, you know, kind of transitioning. So one of the things is, you know, understand your strengths and play at your strengths. And where I think that that ultimately leads you is that you really must understand the different buying perspectives and have a strategy of your own that coincides with those. And so what do I mean by different domain buying perspectives? Well, you can have the perspective of, hey, I just started a company, or I'm wanting to upgrade my domain. I'm a small to medium business or corporate slash enterprise conglomerates, or, you know, I'm a mom and pop shop or a one person company that ultimately I provide a service, product, or solution. And so you really have to understand each of those and at what buying points, because it makes no sense that if it's more of a personal brand, then, you know, if you're talking about, hey, you're going to pay, you know, $150,000, $250,000, $300,000, or six figures to seven figures, good luck. You may find someone, but realize that that person may very well or likely is an anomaly that falls outside of the, you know, the normal distribution. Whereas if it's a personal brand, you know, hey, they may only be willing to spend a couple hundred or, you know, 2,000 at most. It just really depends. That being said, you know, you move into small, medium business, you also have to understand for a small, medium business that in most cases, you really have to understand their industry, their business, and what the cost per lead is. And so, you know, you, when you're considering buying this domain, you have to be thinking, does it make sense for me to pay $3,000 for a domain, and yet the cost of a lead for this customer may be only be a couple of dollars? It may not be worth it. And so that's something that you really need to consider. Also, you know, there are corporate brands and just enterprise brands tend to take long. It's a longer buying process. In fact, I recall there was a talk that I attended at the Merge conference, Merge.show, and I believe, I want to say it was Rob Grant or Rob Garner, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he had given a presentation, and at the very end of it, it was talking about domain leasing. And so he shared that in most instances, corporate and enterprise are more, oftentimes, if they're doing a marketing campaign that's only going to be a couple years old, then they're likely to lease a domain more than they are to purchase a domain. So that's yet something that you have to keep in mind, and you have to know what is your strategy. Is it to go after a corporate or enterprise? Well, if you do, you may not be able to sell. You may have to lease. That being said, if you're going after a personal domain, you may have to set a limit of, well, I may only be able to cap out somewhere around $3,000 or maybe even less, really depending on what the industry is. So know your industries juxtaposed to your life and professional experience. Now, that being said, you know, those are just a few things to consider in terms of the domain buying perspective. Now, you also have to to watch out in the equation of that, basically being that you also consider that sometimes the buyer may be a domain name investor. And if so, there's a difference in retail and wholesale pricing. And so a domain investor is likely going to try to hit you up for wholesale pricing. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Or, you know, it's very rare, but you could find someone who's willing to pay retail, but understand that if they do, then, you know, you have to realize and say, okay, wow, well, if they're willing to pay that retail, know that they may already have a customer on the line who's willing to give them even more. More money. So meaning that they may buy it from you for $250 and then they may turn around and sell it for $13,000 on a quick flip. So understand that. Now, that being said, in terms of you, your life experience, your professional experience, the other thing that you have to consider is which lane you're going to run in. What do I mean by which lane you're going to run in? So when you go to buy a domain, you must figure out why you're buying the domain. And that's based on what lane. What lanes am I talking about? Well, I'm speaking in reference to, are you the domain buyer that is a flipper? Are you a domain buyer that is a developer? Or are you a domain buyer that is strictly leasing domains? Or are you a long-term investor? Different categories there between those 4 points. And so one of the things, first things first, by looking at a flipper. So if you look at a flipper, then what you're really saying is, hey, I'm likely only going to own this domain at 3 years, you know, less than 3 years. If you're more than 3 years, then you're going to be considered an investor by my standard or by my definition. So that being said, if you're a flipper, then, you know, oftentimes you're trying to buy low, sell high, which is ultimately, I guess you could say, that's the whole dream of anyone looking to purchase a domain and sell it for a quick flip. But that being said, as a flipper, then you must really understand, and I probably say so much more, understand your life and professional experience. What do you know about? What are you naturally drawn to? Which markets, which industries, which verticals? You must be clear on all of that if you're going to be a successful and profitable flipper. Again, like I said, you can't. Or rather, I don't want to say you can't. It's been my experience that you shouldn't try to pattern yourself after someone else. Great. If that is the flavor of the month domain that's selling, go ahead and try it. But, you know, be forewarned that in most cases, most times things that come to light, it's kind of like the Chinese bubble that happened with the four-letter .coms. Those four-letter .coms came in, but by the time people were trying to buy them and flip them and sell them, everything had crashed. And we were, you know, almost two and a half, three years into it. And so if you're coming into it at that point, you know, it's like going to a house party. You show up the last 15 minutes, all of a sudden the cops show up and you're in trouble. Now, not that cops are going to show up in terms of domain names, but the buyers leave the party. And when the buyers leave the party, you're left holding the bag. That being said, that's why you must really understand and identify what your personal strategy is and which one of these blocks you fall in. So in terms of that flipper, you know, you want to be able to, you know, try to quick flip anywhere between 6 to 9 months. And that's hard because that means that you must already have a buyer in mind, or you must be adept at having a process, which I'll talk more about my process here momentarily, that I think you could use as a flipper, even as a developer, even to lease or even to invest long term. So that being said, you could very well use some of the things that I'll talk about here momentarily that I use. But that being said, you know, as a flipper, you know, you've got to understand your cost. Understand the carrying cost, because you may have to carry it more than 1 year. And then you have to be willing to say, okay, if at a 3 year period, this domain has not sold, then I've got to let it go and adhere to those strict guidelines. So, you know, that you could find yourself being a flipper. Again, that means that you're likely going to have to do a bit of outbound sales effort if you want to move these names in less than a 3-year period. Now, that being said, you could also move on to being a developer. A developer is a bit different skill set. Developers tend to want to commit more time to projects. And so, obviously, one of the things is, and you, as a developer, you want the right name, because you're really, as a developer, building a brand on top of a domain. So just any old domain is not going to do. No, you're going to want the right brand. And so that's likely going to put you in the conversation of brandable domains. Not to say that keyword domains or exact match domains or even partial match domains, that you couldn't build brands upon those, but you're really going to want something distinct that's going to represent you, that's going to put you in a class all by yourself and not have Me Too companies chasing you and making a play on your brandable domain. Not only that, when you're a developer, so in my case, I have a software development background. And for me, it's no big deal to go out, look for a brand name, be able to stand up a WordPress site, whether that's directory site or whether that's just a 5-page site or even a blog site or even a media site. It's no big deal for me to be able to do that because I have the technical expertise. And I also understand, in addition to having software development background, I also have business and marketing automation background, as well as just general business marketing experience. And so a developer, you know, comes along and you're going to spend some time. You know, there are sites that I'm willing to spend time creating content for, but those sites also, I draw back to, they focus on my life or professional experience. I very seldom do I go outside of the scope of my life or professional experience. And if I do, I spend a good amount of time going out to learn it, or you end up having to pay somebody to do it. And that's yet more cost. So you have domain costs, you have hosting costs, you have, if you're going to do content marketing and outsource that, you have that cost, and it's ongoing. And so you really have to say, you know, really, what am I doing in terms of the outlaying your cost to understand it? But then also, how are you going to recoup it? You know, is this site going to draw enough traffic? Is it going to get ranked? And not only get ranked, but keep its rankings over time. And then how are you going to turn revenue with it? Are you going to sell ads placements? Are you going to use AdSense or some other advertising network? Are you going to become an affiliate? You know, there are many things to consider. And so, you know, as a flipper, obviously the bar, it's a lower, I guess you'd say, entry level versus a developer. And then coming up from a developer standpoint, then you also have those who have higher end domains that I call them higher end domains, or some like to refer to them as premium domains, that are, you know, great leasing options. Now, let me stop here and say that not all domains that are out there are worth considering leasing. I mean, you know, if you have KathyCats.com, no, like, that's not worth anything. You really have to consider something in terms of an industry defining or category defining, I believe, as Rick Schwartz put it. You have to really have something that is well defined in an industry to really be able to consider that a premium domain and one that's available for lease. I think oftentimes domain owners, whether investors or whether people that just end up with a domain, sometimes have just unrealistic expectations. And rightfully so, I get it. You put your time, you put your effort or whatever into owning this domain, but just because you own it and just because someone sold something just like it, you know, it doesn't make, you know, that domain any more valuable. It's like saying, Larry Fisher, who I believe he sold myworld.com for like $1.2 million. If I had myworldchecker.com, well, that doesn't mean that that's going to be a $1 million domain. You know, if anything, you just kind of look at it and, you know, I kind of shake my head and I go, you might do good if you only get, you know, a couple thousand, if that. And so, you know, when you're talking about leasing domains, we're talking about category defining domains. Now, that being said, you know, category defining domains, you're talking about thousands of dollars per month for leases. Whereas, let's say you have a geo service domain. Let's say, for instance, if it was like austintreetrimmers.com, which, by the way, I do own that domain. So you don't have to go out and search for it. It's already owned. But let's say I had that, austintreetrimmers.com, and it was getting, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 leads per month. Well, I may want to turn around. I may want to lease it, but I'm not going to lease it for $1,000 a month. Again, I've got to understand what a tree company's cost per lead is and then judge that accordingly. Oftentimes, if you look for companies that are doing pay-per-click in Google, those likely are companies that you could talk to and say, hey, look, for if your domain is providing you know, legitimate traffic, you may talk to a business and say, hey, for a fraction of what you pay on your pay-per-click cost per month, you know, why don't you lease my domain and I'll redirect the domain to your primary website. Great. You might not get thousands per month, but you might get 100, or you might get, you know, anywhere between $50 to $100 a month, just depending on the industry and how much, you know, someone is willing to pay to own that name. Because not only that, if they lease the domain, then they could also use it in their advertising if they wanted to. Now, if I'm the company and I want to use it in my advertising, then I'm likely going to want to own it, which now adds greater value to your domain as a domain owner. So leasing domains is something that is possible, but you're going to have to be able to, even when you go to speak to the domain, to the business owner about the domain in which you own, you're going to have stats, legitimate stats, and you're going to have to be able, you know, just to say, hey, it's more than just walking in to be able to present a domain and shake hands on a deal and get an agreement in place just because what the domain is named. No, you want to go in and be able to show individuals. And on the site, actually, if you go to kickstartcommerce.com and look up Google Analytics tracking, I actually have a couple of posts that I share with you about how to track your data. You can also, I know if you host domains, and typically most domain registrars, if you host with them and you park your domain with them, they provide you the number of impressions. I know GoDaddy provides the number of impressions, both U.S. and non-U.S., how many people actually visit those domains. So you could also use that analytics and, you know, what you may work out is, look, why don't we try it free for a month? Use Google Analytics when you redirect the domain to that person's site and just see what happens. But that's one area of interest, leasing domains, that you may consider when you really have to answer the question, why did you buy the domain? Are you a leaser? If so, then you need to have a lease strategy in place. And last but not least, it's the long-term investor, which is greater than 3 years investing. And so there are some domains that that I look at and I go, you know, when I invest in this domain, I'm going to invest in it at least 5 years, sometimes 10 years. Or if I'm looking to renew a domain, oftentimes I may base how far I renew it just in regards to the overall domain activity, meaning does it receive traffic, as well as how many inquiries does it receive. You know, if it's received quite a bit of inquiries, then I may kick it out, you know, for another 2-3 years beyond the current date. sometimes as much as 5 or even 10 years in certain instances. But those domains better be, being able to pay for themselves. Like I have domains that, you know, they pay their own registration fees just because they're parked on a page and, they're making parking income. Now, they're not pulling in thousands of dollars a month, but, you know, they may pull in anywhere from $50 to $100 a month. And so I look at that and I go, well, that's a domain that's worth keeping because it's paying for itself as well as a few other domains. And if you got, you know, if you're like me, I have a little over 1,000 domains. And if you ended up with 10 to 15 names like that, that's pretty good money. Now, for me, I only have probably about a handful of names that are like that. And sometimes they're seasonal. I've got a couple names that aren't hitting that consistent average on a monthly basis, but, you know, 3 or 4 months out of the year, they may climb up, you know, $50, $60, $70 a month. So it's worth it. It's more than the $10 renewal fee or whatever your renewal fee is, to basically keep those domains and register them out there. That being said, long-term domain investors, you typically have to find something to do with your time, obviously, because time's going to have to pass for the value of those domains to truly increase into the realm that you want. Now, you also have to be mindful that things often change direction sometimes. So you may, you know, fool around and go, hey, back in, you know, it's 2018 at the time of this podcast, but you may say back in 2015, this was a great investment, but things have changed so much in 2018 that it's not worth, it's no longer worth investing in, and you just have to cut your cost. You just got to cut bait and just say, you know, I thought it was a great investment. Things didn't pan out. Things changed. Move on. But if you're willing to stick to your guns and say, hey, no, things haven't changed, and I believe in another 5 years, then by all means, keep investing. But here's the question. What are you going to do in the meantime with, you know, what are you going to do as you wait on these domains to come into fruition in terms of being, at the level or the rate of return that you're wanting or expecting? So, you know, oftentimes I tell people, I said, look at, you know, like Domain Chain, even look at, you know, Mike Seiger, Morgan Linton, Raymond Hackney, you know, the names keep going on. Most of these domain investors that are likely have long-term investments, they're doing something else. I mean, even for me, yes, I do kickstartcommerce.com as well as dnadverts.com, but I also consult. I run a consulting business, you know, in addition. So, I look at this and I go, you have to do something with your time. You know, it's not just going to be, hey, I want to jump into this full time and just kind of sit on the couch watching TV all day. I mean, yeah, that may happen for a few people, but guess what? That is a small percentage of the population in terms of the domain industry. So in terms of an investor, you know, I look at long-term investors and I say oftentimes it's about quality over quantity, meaning that as a long-term investor, you want to make sure that you have quality names and not just quantity. Don't go rushing out just buying any and everything. Oftentimes, you're likely going to use the very investments to actually upgrade your investment. And so, you know, you may exchange, you may even sometimes make trades. You may swap different domains for another domain. So those are things just to keep in mind in terms of being a long-term investor, is that often is the case you're going quality over quantity. And so you may only have, you know, 20, 25, 50 domains, but the values of those domains are, you know, into, you know, high five figures, low six figures, or even high six figure domain names. So that's just something that, you know, you really must consider. And if you can't start there, guess what? You might need to work your way up. You might need to become a flipper. You might need to become a developer on your way to becoming a long-term investor. And so finally, to close out the show here, you know, I just want to talk briefly a bit about my domain buying process. And so often is the case, people, you know, say, well, how do you buy domains? Or, you know, how do you consider, you know, or what considerations do you make when you're buying domains? And so for me, what I consider a number of things. You know, first off, is the domain trending? And so, you know, you can use something like googletrends.com. Enter in the keywords that make up that domain. Enter it into Google Trends. Is it trending? Now, Google Trends uses what's called an interest. And so it goes from 0 to 100. And what that basically means is it's basically a search engine, a search popularity interest or interest popularity, meaning that oftentimes it can change. And so given the time span that you're looking at, it'll show you over the course of a year, hey, these keywords have been trending. Typically is the case if it's anywhere above 50, that interest, if it's above 50 or above 65, certainly above 65, I likely will invest in that domain, but not so fast. I'm not using this as the only consideration. It's one of many, which are soon to, you know, I'll soon discuss. And so that's the first question is it trending? You know, what does Google Trends say about the domain name or the keywords that make up the domain? The next is, are there previous or related sales? And this is where namebio.com comes in, that you can actually type in the full domain just to see if there have been any previous domain sales for that. Or if it's, you know, let's just say it uses a certain word. So like, for instance, I had recently sold homesteadhealth.net. And what I wanted to find out, I looked it up, homesteadhealth.net, and there was nothing that was available in namebio.com. However, I looked for homestead and just said, hey, give me domains that start with homestead that are .net, as well as that end in health.net. And what it gives you is a list of domains. It gives you which platform they were purchased from, at what value. Now, what you got to keep in mind is there's a mix in there between wholesale and retail, primarily wholesale prices. So you have to kind of adjust a bit, and you have to know who you're dealing with when you go to sell that domain. Are you selling it to a domain investor or wholesaler, or are you selling it to a company at retail price? So use that to determine whether or not there are previous sales and whether or not those sales make sense. Because if you're seeing, you know, things that are being purchased at, you know, $100, domains that are being purchased at $100, $200, but the domain that you're looking at is bidding at like $3,000, then, you know, you're going to have to really question, is this just a bidding frenzy? Or if it is bidding that much, what has happened as of late that makes this domain valuable? So use namebio.com when you're considering buying a domain. Not only that, I also look at, does the domain have previous history? So for this, you'll use web.archive.org. Use this tool and use it in such a way that I also look and try to see, has anything ever been developed on it? This is also a good way to, not that web.archive.org will tell you that a domain has been blacklisted, but the next step after that is if it does show something, or whether or not it shows something, see if domain has been blacklisted. You know, if it is and you're a developer, just know that you're going to have to put in a lot of hard work. You're going to have to do some rehabbing on that domain to get it back into good standing with search engines. But that being said, I also want to know, you know, what the history is. You don't want to consider a domain as for a brand that used to be used as an adult website. You know, for me, I don't want to. I don't recommend it for you, but hey, it's your prerogative. You do what you do, but understand that, you know, for me, that's just not my thing. But what is my thing is just making sure that, you know, a domain has a clean history. And if not, I want to be clear on what type of history it's had. And if I feel that this domain can be rehabbed, then I'll rehab it. So that's the third point. The fourth point in terms of my buying process is, does the domain display ads in Google? I'll put the domain into Google as well as just keywords around that domain. And if the ads are displaying pay-per-click ads, then likely is the chance that you may be able to approach some of those companies about flipping the domain or even leasing that domain. So that's just one thing to, you know, another point of consideration when buying a domain. Second from last is, does it have a competitive cost per click value? For this, you'll want to use Google Keywords Planner. You'll want to go to Google Keywords Planner, insert the keywords, and see what type of competition it has. If it has low competition but a $3 cost per click, that may not be good. What you're looking for is something that has high competition and a higher valued cost per click, as well as the average monthly search. So in Google Keyword Planner, it gives you the average monthly number of searches, both at a global and a local level. You'll have to make sure that you check those columns. And then it also gives you the cost per click as well as the competition. Like I said, if it's low volume, or it could be high volume, low competition, decent cost per click, I don't necessarily like those type of domains. I like domains that are at least reasonable in terms of their average monthly search volume. And then I'm looking for medium to high, preferably high competition, and, you know, a considerable amount of cost per click. Because, again, you're going to have to put some effort into some of these domains. And, you know, you think about an environment like a legal environment, or even one keyword that comes to mind is mesothelioma. You know, you got $100 cost per click, you know, just for that phrase. So you think about that phrase versus something like pet sitting. I mean, pet sitting may only be a couple of dollars, if not just cents on the dollar. Now you see the difference between those two, and you're like, yeah, I don't necessarily want to go after a pet sitting domain name. Not unless it is petsitting.com, which is, that's the industry defining or category defining name. But that being said, you know, you just want to make sure that it does have a competitive cost per click value that's high and considerable and worth your time to make an investment into that domain. Last but not least, and I touched on it a bit in terms of when it was, does domain have previous history? You may want to use things, this last bit of information, what that I use in terms of a decision point is, does the domain have backlinks? Does it have existing backlinks? So for this, you may have to use tools such as SEMrush, Ahrefs, or Majestic. And so those tools will help you understand whether or not a domain has a whether it has backlinks. Also is the case, if the domain is in auction, oftentimes you can use something like expireddomains.net, and they also offer a bit of insight of whether or not a domain has backlinks, whether or not a domain is registered in other extensions, which is yet another consideration to think about. I don't necessarily use it for mine, but it's definitely one that I encourage you to use, is to consider whether or not, you know, a domain name is registered in other extensions. But that being said, in terms of backlinks, you know, you want to go online and Google, and I put in the domain name. I can't tell you how many times I put in a domain name of a business that has gone out of business and is no longer in business, but yet they spent their marketing dollars for search engine optimization, search engine marketing. And so you have things that are like LinkedIn pages, you know, of these companies that they put that domain name out there. And so there you have one link from LinkedIn, which is a high profile link to have. You have Twitter accounts that are no longer in use that have links over to the domain name. You have Facebook accounts or Facebook pages that list a business that's no longer doing business, but it still has that domain name there. Now, you know, I tell, you know, most people that, hey, if the company's gone out of business, then that domain is fair game. Now, if you go out and you register, you know, someone else's domain, and then try to go to them and take that to them, I don't recommend doing that. That's just my personal preference. There are many people who are out there doing it. They make a good living. But just because you can go do something oftentimes doesn't mean that you should, because you could wind up in UDRP status. Now, obviously, there are situations to where you register a name. Let's say you register it in 2012, but someone comes along in 2018, 2019, so years after the fact, and they're trying to state, hey, you're using our domain in bad faith. Well, that's a different situation altogether, because one is, who knew, did you know back then that someone was going to start a business exactly 5 years later? No, you likely didn't. You invested in it because it sounded good, because it was a great brand, and at the time, 101 had it, which is quite different than, oh, I spotted a company. They already have a trademark. The trademark is predated. I go out, register the domain, then try to take it to them. Don't go try that. Like I said, you'll open up a can of worms for yourself in terms of a UDRP. That being said, so, you know, closing out the podcast, I really want you to understand that's my buying process. You know, is it trending? Are there, you know, previous or related sales? Does the domain have previous history? You know, does it have Google ads? Do ads display when searching for it? Does it have a competitive cost per click value when using Google Keywords Planner? And then does it have backlinks? And you know, the one bonus is it hasn't been registered in other extensions. That being said, you know, those are filters in which to look through a domain. But the main filter that you must consider when and why you buy a domain is based upon focus on your strengths. Whether you're a flipper, developer, leaser, or investor, focus on your strengths and find out which of those lanes is your strength, as well as coupled with what is your life and professional experience. That, my friends, is going to be what is going to help you define how well and how successful you are in terms of what you buy, what domains you buy, and how well you're actually able to realize a return on investment, whether that be through flipping, developing, leasing, or just holding long term for the big fish to come along. So with that, we're out of time. Thank you for tuning in to Kickstart Commerce, where we share search marketing and domain investing strategies to help you grow your business. If you have any questions, feel free to respond to the podcast, as well as leave me comments or questions, or email me at info@kickstartcommerce.com. And then last but not least, please subscribe to this podcast, as well as visit kickstartcommerce.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. See you soon.